Let us turn to the Word of God and the book of Psalms, Psalm 87. Psalm 87, and read from verse 4. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. The Lord shall count. He takes notice of all things. God is omniscient. And when sinners are born again, God knows this. He himself, of course, causes the new birth. And he effects it by his Holy Spirit. In fact, he has ordained all those from eternity who would be born again. They are the members of Christ's body, and they are all written in his book, in the volume of his book, they are written from eternity. So, friends, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and this is a great comfort to the child of God. It encourages the believer when he or she can see the work of grace within them and conclude that because of this evidence of grace, their names are written in heaven. They are in the Lamb's book of life. And that means God will never forget them. They are enrolled in his book. And God says of them, this and that man was born in her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Selah. Pause. Stop and consider this. The Lord himself makes mention of these that know him. He himself recognizes them and will proclaim them as his own. And surely then we should consider this. We should pause and meditate and recognize that God from eternity chose these people to eternal life. And when they are born again, he registers them as such. This man was born there, Selah. And the Lord helping us tonight, we will consider first the nations enrolled. Enrolled in God's register. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. The nations enrolled. And secondly, the believer encouraged. Knowing that the believer's name is registered in God's book. In fact, the believer's name was in the Lamb's Book of Life from eternity. The believer is encouraged by this. And thirdly, what we can gather from this and apply it to the sinner is exhorted. The sinner exhorted. And these are the three headings to our address tonight that we would gather our thoughts around as we focus upon verse 6 of Psalm 87. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there, Selah. First, the nations enrolled. Secondly, the believer encouraged. And thirdly, the sinner exhorted. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. And you know, as you look at the text yourself, that the word man is in italics. When he writeth up the people, this was born there, Selah. And we believe that since the context is the nations and the word people is in the plural, that what is spoken of here is the nations themselves who are born there. And that is, of course, in Zion. So the nations that know God, verse 4, Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia, this man is in italics, this was born there. As to each and every one of these nations, this was born there, this was born. All of these nations have their birthplace in Zion, that is the church. And so we have here in our text, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this was born there. This people was born there. This, as to every one of these nations that make up all of these peoples, this was born there. And so when the Lord writes or registers the peoples or nations, he shall count. He shall count that this was born there. And the word count is used of general mathematical activity. One can count objects or people or periods of time. And the Lord is counting. We might say he is numbering those peoples and kingdoms as his own. He is counting them his own people. And the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. When he writeth, he is numbering them when he is writing them, or literally in the writing of them. The word writing is the only general Hebrew word for write, and it is used in many places. When Moses wrote a scroll, for God's curse on the Amalekites, and also when God wrote the Ten Commandments, he wrote in the, and so the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, or in the writing of the people he shall count that this man was born there. And the word write, the writing, writeth up the people, brings before us the idea of registration. And the various organizations, of course, in ancient history would keep a register. The armies and generals in the armies would have a register of living soldiers, as well as cities. When citizens died, then their names were erased from the register. When soldiers were added or people were born, then their names would be written down. They would be enrolled in the register. And so were Joseph and Mary when they went to Bethlehem. When we read there in Matthew chapter 2 that they went to Bethlehem because all the world should be taxed from the decree of Caesar Augustus, the word taxed is in the margin the word enrolled. This was the enrolling of the peoples, and they went there for that purpose. And God enrolls the peoples of the earth, and he lists them among his own people, his own church. The Lord shall count in the writing of the peoples, this was born there, this nation, this people, this kingdom. They were born in Zion. And how encouraging this would be, again, as we've already pointed out in the previous verses, to the Gentile world, that these nations who are not Jewish, these peoples who are not of Israel, not the literal Israel, they would be brought into the church. They would be numbered amongst those who are in God's kingdom. And so this is a promise that the Lord will gather all the kingdoms and the nations of the earth to himself. And we read about that in Isaiah chapter 60, where there are many references to the Gentiles coming into the church or into Zion, including verses 11 and 12, which are very striking in regard to the reality of nations being brought into the church, but also the danger of the nations who refuse to come into the church. Verse 11 says, Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. The wealth or the resources of the nations will contribute for the prosperity and spread of the church and the gospel. But on the other hand, those who nations or kingdoms that refused to promote the good of the church and the spread of the knowledge of the Lord would be destroyed. Verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. And it's as if the nations that didn't comply with the gospel call and service to the church, these nations would be removed from the register. They would not be in God's writing when God writes up the people. So is this not a warning to our nation? If New Zealand and other nations persist in throwing off the restraints of God's law and they continue to do what they can, as it were, to harm the church, what will come over this nation? What judgments are we bringing upon us because of these things? And can we not expect God's further displeasure? So we should plead the promises that God will turn the nations to himself. And though particular governments may not comply, and such will be responsible for their guilt, yet the day is coming. We believe that the evidence is more than abundant in Scripture, that all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the kingdoms will come to Christ. We read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, that the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And perhaps we can go so far as to say that there is a period of time coming, or even a moment coming, when whole nations will be brought to Christ and be joining themselves to the church of God. We find in Isaiah chapter 66 the swiftness of such accession to the church by these nations. Who hath heard such a thing? This is an astonishing thing. Verse 7, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. This is speaking of the swiftness of the birth of these nations in the church. Verse 8, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? And listen to this part of the verse. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And these children are the nations. Zion is the birthplace of these nations. And God is saying that he will certainly fulfill his promise. Verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? And so rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Do we care about the church? Do we mourn for the solemn assemblies? Is the reproach of the church a burden to us? Well, we're to rejoice with the church as well as be grieving with the church and all her calamities and all her persecutions. Be thankful for the promises and plead these promises in prayer. Give the Lord no rest till he writes up the people and he counts that this man or this nation or this people was born there. Selah. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. And of course, what applies to the nations can be said also of the individuals that make up the nations. And so in the second place, we consider the believer encouraged. the believer encouraged. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. God has a register in heaven, and that, of course, is his own omniscience. God knows all things, and his knowledge of all things is that register. He takes all things into account. For the ungodly, he is marking their iniquity. And the sinner is heaping up wrath upon himself. But God also knows when sinners come to Christ. He takes notice of every unregenerate soul that is born again by the operation of his Holy Spirit. So perhaps we can go further and say that this register in heaven is God's own omniscience, and also we can include the fact that he has decreed all things from eternity. So God's foreknowledge, and that is true, of course. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. And he has elected sinners of mankind from eternity to be the members of Christ's body, to be saved with an everlasting salvation. And so they are in the book of life. All of God's people are in this book. From the first soul that was born again, the time of Adam, to the last of God's elect that will be gathered in before the resurrection day. And not one will be missing, and not one is missing in God's book of election, the Lamb's book of life. As the Confession of Faith puts it, the number of God's elect is so exact that it cannot be diminished nor increased. The number is so exact, so definite, it cannot be changed. Of course, people will say this is a great stumbling block to them, but it need not be, and we'll come to that. The sinner will be exhorted. But what we're thinking about is this register or book of life. Now, the text speaks about God counting this as if it is a present situation is taking place now, irrespective of a past eternity. That may be so. This and that man was born in her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, in the writing of the people. But the fact is that we find this written book, this book of life, and God's people's names written in heaven. We find that again and again in Scripture, and it would seem to go all the way back to Exodus, where Moses is asking God that if God would not forgive the people, that God would then take his name out of the book, God's book that he has written. Exodus chapter 32, verses 31-33. And so the question is, at this moment, how can this be if this is God's book of election, the decree of those who are his people from eternity? How can Moses ask that his name would be blotted out of the book of life? One explanation may be that it is not the decree of election, but it is simply God's accounting with people who profess to be the Lord's people, who look like they're the Lord's people. And when they fall away, or they turn back, then God removes them from his accounting with them. They are no longer in that book of life. Perhaps similar to the text that we have tonight, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, as if it were something that were presently taking place. But on the other hand, if, as we believe it is, speaking of the decree of election, God's book of life, God's book that he has written from eternity, then how can it be that Moses asks to have his name removed if God did not forgive their sin? Well, it is similar to Paul, the apostle, saying that he could wish himself accursed from Christ for his brethren. He could wish, but it were not possible. It was not possible to be accursed, and Paul could never stop loving Christ. But it is a strong expression of his desire that the Lord would save sinners, and here is Moses' strong language expressing his love to his people that God would forgive them. In the same manner, when David, the psalmist, in Psalm 69, says or prays that God would blot out the name of the wicked that persecutes him, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. The fact is that this wicked man that he speaks of never was one of the elect. And so it is a matter of speaking. Just as it's not possible for the elect's name to be blotted out, so it was not possible that the reprobate's name was ever enrolled in the first place in God's book. But certainly, the psalmist is asking that this wicked man would not be regarded as righteous. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. So, we're thinking of God's book of life, the decree of election. And God has other books as well. And these books will be opened on the day of judgment. We find that in Revelation chapter 20, the books, plural, were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, there's the book of the law, the book of God's omniscience, the book of the facts, the book of conscience, and the ungodly will be judged according to these things. But there is also the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But there is the book of life. And it is a means of assurance. When the Lord Jesus tells us that those who persevere, he himself will not blot out their names from the book of life. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You might say, well, why would he make a promise like this if it were never possible for any of his own elect, his own people, their names to be blotted out, erased from the book of life? Well, the reason is there may be the temptation. There may be the fear that God would cast us off and he would remove us, even though we have had the evidence that we are his people, even though we've had the evidence that we are his elect. And Christ is assuring every one of his dear people who may be timid and weak and doubting, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. And he is giving this assurance to encourage perseverance. He is giving this comfort, and this comfort is really only for those who do persevere. Those who are stirred up to diligence, they're the ones who get assurance. It's the believer who is not as diligent as he or she should be, and not pleading the promises they ought to be, and giving way to unbelief as they ought not. These are the ones who are so greatly lacking in assurance. Those who are dallying with sin, they're the ones who are going to be full of clouds and darkness. But the Lord Jesus is assuring us that he will not blot out our name out of the book of life for those who overcome. He that overcometh, he's encouraging us to persevere, and we will get the assurance the certainty in our hearts and our consciousness that our names are written in his book of life. And so we're to make our calling and election sure. And we can be sure that we're elect if we see that we have been called. Effectual calling, question 31 in the Catechism, you know it. Examine yourself by it, by the marks found in the Word of God. And if you're still doubting, well then persevere, use the means of grace diligently, plead the promises, seek grace to be holy. Because this assurance is for those who are seeking, pursuing after holiness. And you say, well, can we really be assured that our names are in the book of life? Absolutely. Paul the Apostle had no hesitation in saying about others, not himself, but about others, the evidence seemed to be so clear. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Remember, they're laboring, they're working hard. They have abundant evidence that they're the children of God, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. They are there. There's no doubt about it. And this is what we should be rejoicing about. As the Lord Jesus warns his apostles, yes, you're thankful that you have been enabled to cast out demons. Yes, we're thankful for this. He encourages them, but he encourages them more to rejoice in this fact. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so, if we would be sure that our names are written in heaven, let us repent of our sins and persevere in holiness. Because those whose names are written among the living in Jerusalem, and there in Isaiah 4, verse 3, it's speaking of God's ordaining these sinners to eternal life, those who are written among the living in Jerusalem, it is when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Yes, those who remain in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Poor child of God, you may be going through hardship and affliction, and you're soul searching, and you're questioning, but you're throwing away your idols, and you're seeking grace to be holy, and you're turning to the Lord. Well, is it not in this way that the Lord is giving you assurance that your name is in heaven? Because those who know they're on the way to heaven are those who are turning to God with all their heart. And they're casting out their idols and they're saying, Lord, search me and try me. Like Nathanael, there was no guile in him because he was praying. And if the Lord is stirring you up to prayer, well then you're on the way to receiving assurance, to know that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, because only those people are going to heaven who are made perfect in holiness, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. And now the sinner exhorted. It is very clear that there are some who are not written in the book of life, cannot deny the truth. And those who wonder at the beast, well, they are those whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. But what we say to some, if you go on in rebellion against God, determined to throw off the restraints of his law, it's as if you're doing all you can to prove to the world and to yourself that you're not elect. Why would you do such a thing? It's time to turn. Seek the Lord, turn to him. You say, but I would if I knew I was elect. I would if I knew that my name was written in heaven. Well, we can say this. So far, there's nothing in the Word of God that tells you that you're not elect. If you have any desire for mercy, any entertainment of any hope of salvation. And so the fact is, you don't have evidence you're not elect. But more than that, you have the offer of Christ. You have the knowledge that those who are elect are no different from you by nature. And yet, none of them knew they were elect until they obeyed the gospel call and came to Christ. And so, friend, in conclusion, your duty is not to try to roll out the scroll and find your name in the list. Your duty is to obey the gospel call and flee to Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Come to the Lord Jesus, who is saying to you tonight, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you come to him, you will know that you're one of his, that your name is written in heaven, and your name will never, ever be blotted out. We read, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. May he bless his word.